today's Tuesday, October 16th. Blackout.
Blackout. We were astonishingly bad at Blackout.
We were.
I'm kind of disappointed in myself. Like, I don't, my gaming skills, I don't take any pride in that. It doesn't reflect who I am as a person, but it was real bad.
I got to get a gaming mouse now because I'm using the Logitech wireless.
I don't think that's the problem. Well, last week we talked about the Amazon employees. Actually, we've been talking about Amazon for quite some time now, and their $15 per hour and how that might factor into actually less money for a lot of the employees. We weren't the only ones who noticed. A lot of people said a lot of things, and
Bloomberg has got this article, Amazon ponies up more money for warehouse workers after blowback. And this is what they're talking about here is the people that earned stocks, because Amazon stocks historically so far have been worth a lot of money to those workers, more so than the $15 an hour raise. Although I have to point out, Bloomberg is dead to me.
In the past years, recent history, Amazon stock has gone up six times, a six-fold increase. So if they held on, they made a lot of money. Some of them we know did not hold on and sold it immediately, which is not smart.
I think a lot of the people that are in that situation probably are paycheck to paycheck, but that's got to be. It's like, we're going to give you this equivalent in stock that you're going to have to sell, and somebody else can make an insane amount of money on that stock. I think it should be that you make enough to live, and you have stock that you're supposed to like sock away. Like, that would be a much better situation. So can we have $15 an hour and stock? Is that unreasonable?
Well, no, you can't. What you're going to get is maybe $16 an hour if you've been there long enough. Maybe $16.25, and you're going to get bonuses that are straight cash. No more stocks. So, sorry.
And it's going to, you know, be something that you, like, nobody's going to use that to buy stock. Like, I'll use the extra cash. No.
Yeah, well, they talk it would be like $1,000 or $2,000. And I think the stock's worth more than that, right?
So lately, I've noticed that things like a loaf of bread is like $3. When did that happen? Like, I just woke up one morning and it's like, good Lord.
We are also experiencing a bit of a downturn in the market right now. Maybe not as of today when you're watching this, but as of today when we're recording it, certainly are. So I think in that time period, you know, a lot of those people, like, if you've been working at Amazon less than 7 or 8 years, which is probably the majority of them, don't you think? They've never experienced a big downturn in the market. Mm. So they're like summer children. So this might be better for them in the long run. I don't know. I don't think Amazon stock is going to suffer too much. I mean, they're too powerful.
Yeah.
The spice must flow.
The other big, big, big business news this week, which is also technology news, but also business news.
Yes, the 9900K, the somewhat controversial, even from its inception, Intel processor. There's been some subterfuge around it in the past. There was the refrigeration scandal.
Oh, we forgot to mention it was overclocked. We just left out a word. Whoops.
Yeah, that was interesting. And then, you know, there was a talk of like how it was going to compare. Well, now we've got our answer. But do we?
So TechSpot has got a pretty good write-up of this. Basically, what happened is Intel announced the new 9000 series CPUs on October 8th, and reviewers, including, you know, us, have, you know, theoretically access to the 9th generation CPU, but the CPU performance characteristics are under embargo until like the 18th or something like that, according to the article here. And Intel commissioned Principal Technologies to do a bunch of game benchmarking. And those benchmarks have been released. And so it's sort of weird that Intel is sort of releasing their own benchmarks a week or so ahead of the actual benchmarks that will be available from a lot of third-party independent reviewers. I mean, it's kind of weird. But the bottom line is that there's stuff in the benchmarking, like they turned off half the cores on the CPU. There's a lot, like, you really dive into it, but it's really just not anything atypical for Intel marketing. Like, the technical people for Intel and the marketing people, they don't talk to each other. And there's not really a scandal here because no one at Intel is going to get fired.
Well, that doesn't mean there's not a scandal. But they also talk about the memory timing. They tuned it for the Intel. They didn't tune it for the Ryzen. And they compared those results as if they were one-to-one. And I don't think that is uncommon.
No.
Everybody kind of does that.
Yeah.
And look who just showed up. Get ready for some magic. some
blackout.
Oh, wait a minute. Who's this?
Hi. Welcome, everybody, to the Level 1 News. I was here the whole time. Definitely wasn't late. Was a car wreck.
Just in time for everybody's favorite topic, including mine. And this week, what's this? A positive Tesla story. That's right. I changed it up on you.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration? Is that? I don't know if I got that acronym exactly right.
Or as they call it, the NHTSA.
Yeah, I don't know what
that is. The Tesla Model 3 has the lowest probability of injury ever. So this is an incredibly hard to attain rating, as in it's the best one.
Well, the big win, like the reason, so it's an average, and one of the reasons that they're near the top is one of the things that goes into the average is rollover, and it's almost impossible to roll these cars over because there's a giant battery bolted to the bottom, yeah. You know, and like it's the weight is perfectly distributed. So they also got, these guys don't put software and like, you know, those kinds of features into their stuff, but they did praise the autopilot as well. They're like, listen, we don't judge autopilot, but we love it. So,
and that's not really related at all, but A+.
The 3 and the X are 1 and 2.
Bob here literally went to sleep at the wheel, and the car was like, let me just pull over for
you. Yeah, they did talk about it. They were like, if the car on autopilot is like 1 in so many million crashes versus 1 in so many 100,000 crashes with a human at the wheel. So maybe Musk grease and palms, because I mean they had a lot of nice things to say about.
Well, maybe the cars themselves are probably fine.
Yeah, they also got
the criticism we have here at Level One is of Musk himself and not necessarily of Tesla.
They also supposed to have really good crumple zones, where like the car will just, you know, crumble around you, but you're fine, and there's no engine to fly back into your legs, which is nice.
So don't keep your golf clubs in the frunk.
The frunk.
Do they? Yeah, do they have storage in the front?
They do.
Yeah, okay, because they got the drivetrain in the back. Is that what's going on?
They literally call it the frunk.
Well, it's not all...
It's an unfortunate word in English.
It's not all sunshine and roses. Musk still must step down as CEO.
By November 10th.
Chairman.
Chairman.
Which one does he keep? Chairman. He keeps CEO,
He keeps
right?
CEO. He's stepping down
as chairman, and so the search is on for his replacement.
Would anyone want to pilot that ship with him, like, right over your shoulder all the time?
Well, James Murdoch.
Reuters has this amazing story where the Financial Times ran a story that says James Murdoch was going to be the Tesla chair, but then Elon Musk is like, no, incorrect.
That is James Murdoch, son of Rupert Murdoch, media magnate, and, you know, Fox News lord.
That doesn't sound wrong at all.
A lot of people don't like him. But he has, you know, he's never been in charge of any company that actually produces something other than media. So a lot of people question that. Musk tweeted, said that's incorrect.
Is it going to be like that time they put the Pepsi guy in charge of Apple? Because that didn't end well.
It seems like it would be a lot like that, yes. Although it sounds like I think Musk doesn't want a strong figure in that role. You know, he wants somebody he can push around. So I don't know who that would be. Another celebrity, perhaps.
I was going to say, like, just one of his fans or a girlfriend or...
Yeah, what about the girlfriend musician lady? She'd probably be a good choice.
I'm not sure if she has a lot of qualifications.
Yeah.
What does he care?
You know what she could be, though, is spokesmodel for the newest product coming out of the Tesla camp.
Tesla Kila!
That's as absurd as it sounds.
It's what it sounds like. It's tequila made by Tesla.
Look at all those smiling faces in the background.
I got to say that this stock photo is a swing and a miss.
That's not a stock photo. That's him.
No, it's a stock photo of when they opened a plant or something somewhere. That's champagne.
Yeah, that doesn't look like Tesla.
Well, no, but it's not a stock photo.
They do have a mock-up here. Here's what it's going to look like. What do you think of this design, Krista?
It's fine. I mean, I feel like they're... Why would you buy theirs over anybody else's? It's just like a marketing
perhaps
stunt.
Perhaps you missed this part here.
Why would you buy a flamethrower from Tesla?
Yeah. It's because you are a sycophant, and you've made a terrible mistake.
I don't know all about tequila branding. I'd have to look at what else is available in that space. I just know Patron.
Yeah, I guess that's the big one, right?
Yeah. That's like the nicer one, I think.
But... it is weird to market an alcohol product with a car.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Was that wrong? Should we not have done that?
Because yeah. You know somebody's going to turn on the autopilot.
You get blasted on Teslaquila, and then you take your Tesla home, and you don't have to drive.
Yeah, I think that's
level
still
five only.
That's highly illegal, even if the autopilot is driving.
Listen, the rules don't apply to Musk.
Can you even drink champagne in a limo? Like, is that okay?
Well, you're not driving. You have a driver for you.
Right.
The driver can't be drinking the champagne.
But there are open container laws.
Yes.
But I think in a limo, because there is a partition.
As long as the partition's up, it's okay.
Like, you can't. There's no possible way. I'm not sure what the law is there. I mean, I'm sure people just break it if it is a law.
If you're a cop, let us know.
Or just a limo driver. I think we got some of those in our audience. We definitely got some professional drivers.
You think you have multiple limo drivers? That seems like a weird profession.
No, I think we do.
Though we certainly got some Uberers. Now that you wouldn't be able to get away with it there, for sure, right?
They do have complimentary mints in a lot of Ubers.
Do you think it will upset the tequila industry? Because I don't.
Tequila?
No. Well, I think it's going to be one of these, just like the surfboard and the flamethrower, it's not going to be an ongoing product. You think?
It has to be a one-off. Like, they'll do one batch. It's probably an existing tequila that they just changed the label on.
It's just bottom shelf. Like,
yeah.
You know, like wood alcohol.
This is how he's going to pay off his $30 million fine.
20, was it?
Was it 20?
I think it's 20.
Oh, it was a lot.
Well, in the hardware world, another first this week, and that is Microsoft breaking into the top five.
Microsoft has passed Acer to become a top five vendor in the U.S., and this is thanks to the Surface line. Now, I think that this is unfortunate because the Surface could have been amazing, but they are really resting on their laurels with the last couple of products. I really think that they're really phoning it in. There's no USB-C. There's no Thunderbolt. Battery life is middling compared to their older models. They're back on, you know, Consumer Reports says that they're reliable again because they fixed some of the quality control issues. So it's like the surfaces were good and then the quality went down and then they got better, but they're still not where they should be.
It's also important to note that the gap between 5 and 4 is massive. Like, that they're not selling a lot of products at number 5. And the growth in the PC world that we experienced in the last quarter did not carry forward.
No.
So, what's drinking?
Sorry. A cup of coffee.
Well, it's good news from Microsoft, but guess what? There's also some bad news.
Some people are using Bing, and they're starting to notice that it doesn't have any of the controls against nastiness and racism and whatnot. So the BBC's got this amazing article about Microsoft saying they're taking steps to fix the horrifying Bing search results, where somebody will search for something innocent, and they will end up on a racist or worse website.
Well, something innocent. Something innocent being, like, race-related. So the guy who complained was searching literally for ethnicities, or, you know, it's like, or he was just searching things like Jew and Muslim and stuff and black. And he was getting a lot of probably highly visited sites, which are considered evil. So Bing, like you say, I think they're giving accurate results, but in this world, we don't want accurate results. We want comfortable results.
We don't want the things that are a spectacle. It's like, you know, the lady that's beating her kid senseless in public, no one looks at that.
Oh, my God. So many people do. WorldStar is so successful thanks to that. But they're talking – now, they also talk about this BBC reporter tried all of those same searches, and they claim they could not reproduce. It was kind of bad, but not nearly what this guy said who made the complaint.
Hmm.
So either he was he was overstating the problem, or Microsoft has already gotten in there and started to clean things up.
Probably a little column A, a little column B. It's easy to imagine the filter also is like, is the country of the person requesting this information the U.S. or the U.K.? It's like, all right, let's run them through the advanced thing. And it's like, oh, is it from some country that we don't care about? Yeah, let's not bother trying to filter those results.
Google hasn't solved that problem completely either. As someone who likes to look up other ethnicities as like reference drawings, like for drawing pictures, I once made the mistake of putting an Asian woman, and the results were not just like profile or like, you know, pictures of an Asian face so I could figure out how to draw their eyes and nose.
See, I think probably 80% of people who are doing that search are looking for what you found.
Yeah. And I was like, oh no. Oh, I've made a huge mistake. But and Google hasn't fixed that as far as
I suppose that is inherently, you know, by the letter, that's racism. But it's like, they're looking for that specific race. You know, it's like positive racism, if there's such a thing.
Is it?
Well, I mean, if you prefer that.
I just needed
that,
a reference for right? a drawing. Like,
what if you prefer, like, you know, seeing some, you know, trailer trash parent beating their kid senseless in public? Just because you have prefer that doesn't mean that it's okay.
Well, but, you know, it's not discriminatory. Well, maybe it is. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. But is liking something...
You're not allowed to objectify that.
I was just thinking, like, because if you put in like white woman, it would pull up pictures, like stock photos of white women, which is what I was looking for, but that's not what came up, and it was terrible.
The comments is already like for yeah. this video is
just terrible.
Well, in the third story of our trio of Microsoft stories, we talk about X.
Microsoft's xCloud service is going to stream Xbox games to PCs, consoles, and other mobile devices. So, yeah, Microsoft thinks they can pull off this whole game streaming thing. So they're going to give it a try. It's xCloud. It's going to be interesting to see how this shapes up. Now, I think this is perfectly possible if the game is small and the data can be streamed to the Xbox where it renders it. But if they're talking about remote rendering of the game and then streaming that to the Xbox...
Well, they want it to be totally cross-platform. So they want mobile... PC, console, to all have the same experience pulling from the server. Now, we did the story not long ago where they talked about there are going to be two versions. There's going to be like a pure stream version and then a actual hard drive console where you could pull things down to. But if you're going to do cross-platform, and that's the hot new thing, right? Like you want to play Fortnite with everybody else in the universe, how can that ever be fair?
It can't be.
And maybe they don't even care anymore, you know? It seems like the mouse and keyboard thing, they're just like, whatever, deal with it, plebs.
How many people are going to get, like, false reported? Cause it's like, they have an aimbot. It's like, no, they're just using a mouse and keyboard.
It's also true that devices like the Surface Pro 4 that we were just mentioning lack the graphics horsepower to have any kind of reasonable gaming experience.
But that shouldn't matter.
If it's streaming.
If everything is streaming.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Well, how about Apple? They're trying to, it's like, how do we bring people to the Apple platform? What can we give them? And they have found a new answer.
They're going to give away original content for free to device owners as part of a new digital TV strategy. So they're going to spend money like Netflix. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Netflix has spent a lot of money. And then give away that original programming to people that own Apple devices. I question Apple's sanity here.
And not only that, but because this is going to be free to everybody who gets an Apple device, they're carefully limiting it to PG-rated entertainment.
Mm.
And if you think about all the stuff that, like the Netflix originals, not much of it is that. The stuff people really want is more adult content. Well, I guess I should differentiate between adult content and... non-pornographic adult content.
Yeah. Something with complex themes and moral gray areas.
Maybe some violence. So it will be interesting. They're talking about... the other thing is, like, how hard are people going to work to try and spoof the fact that they're using Apple hardware in order to get in with their Apple ID to... Because this is supposed to be limited to just Apple hardware.
I think that'll be about 5 minutes of work for somebody that's determined.
Yeah, and... so that's going to be interesting. So somebody's going to be building a Raspberry Pi device, like the Cody's, that type of thing. And it's just like, you know, spoof Apple TV. Well, they're also looking to expand their control over the hardware that goes into all these widgets they've created.
Apple has lost their damn mind. TechCrunch has this article. Apple has inked a $600 million deal to license intellectual property, acquire assets and talent from Dialog to expand chip making in Europe. So, okay, Apple wants European talent basically to design and build chips.
Well, they're already using a lot of these guys' products and their chips and their products. So I think what they basically did was they went to this company and they were like, these 300 people, because it was 300 people they took, they basically work for us. Now they're really going to work for us. We're going to purchase them for $600
million. $600
million
for 300 people. It's you like gotta $2 feel million good. Each.
Think about your self-esteem after that.
Well, what if, you know.
Would it be higher or lower?
Is like a quarter of $1 million going to go to each person? Because, I mean, that seems like that should happen.
No. That's purely on paper. It's good for your self-esteem. It's not good for your bank account. Well, shopping at Walmart, it's something that I've pretty much excluded completely from my life. It's not a pleasant thing to do. And it's a bit of a roller coaster of emotions sometimes when you're going through Walmart. And now they're going to try and figure out exactly what that roller coaster looks like.
This is probably because the website peopleofwalmart.com.
Well, no, I imagine they're trying to figure out, like, are you excited by a new display? Well, maybe your pulse will go up or... Temperature seems like a weird one to record, but I don't...
Walmart has patented a cart that reads your pulse and temperature.
Yeah.
But why?
They sell it in this article. You know, they did a press release. They sell it as being able to... So they think that shoppers are maybe overcome by selection or... Actually, we were talking about this right before we started recording. The people who just stare at the display. And like, what's going through their head when it takes more than 2 minutes, let's say, to select a cracker? Like what's so if you're holding on to your cart, then they're going to be able to detect that anxiety and dispatch someone to try and help you.
Wait, do you think those people get anxious? Like, is their heart rate going up?
I don't
know.
Well, that's what we'll find out, right?
What if they're texting or something? And they just have one hand on the cart.
They also talked about, well, one hand would probably do it. They also talked about violence, which is not uncommon in Walmarts.
That's true.
That they might be able to detect anger before it turns to violence and get the security team in there to defuse the situation. Again, it sounds like a hopeful thing. I think probably really what's going to happen is they're going to sell that data, right? And
then the marketing team will buy it, but then they're like, we don't know how to apply it, but we just want it for reasons.
We don't know why, but Nature Valley granola bars really get people's hearts racing.
And not in a good way. We need to send a SWAT team in to control aisle 6 immediately.
Breakfast cereals, stat.
Cleanup, code blue.
Well, there was this popular app, Do Not Pay, let you get out of parking tickets. We covered that quite a while back, I think. Well, it's gotten an upgrade and an impressive one.
The new app lets you sue anyone by pressing a button. Do Not Pay is a free app designed to help normal people fight big corporations in small claims court. So now...
How do you like this user interface, Krista?
I mean, it's fine. I don't understand the affordance here. Like, are you supposed to click on that tab? What? Is that a button?
There's a finger. Oh, I forgot how blind you are.
No, it looks like a tab. It doesn't look like a finger. That's a really poor illustration.
That's a finger. There's the knuckle wrinkles and there's the fingernail.
Yep.
And you push the button.
That does not look like a finger.
Oh my God, Krista. You are you're a public menace on these roads.
That does not look like a finger. Even if I could see that really clearly, I don't think it would look like a finger.
The most exciting thing about this is that it's powered by IBM Watson, and it's only going to take one judge to get his knickers in a twist and to write a letter to IBM, and then that IBM Watson powering this app is going to disappear. And the level one follow-up on this is going to be IBM decided to pull the Watson interface for this particular application because some judge got their knickers in a twist.
You should really avoid that word. So what this thing does is it creates the paperwork for you so that, and you know, I think it'll actually like print it and you just sign it and send it. You've sued someone.
That's a lot of, like, who does? This is the most American app I've ever heard of.
Well, here's the thing. Who does it? A lot of Equifax people, you know, Equifax victims, we're getting like $9,000. Just hit the button and mail it on out. And, you know, next thing. And Equifax, what are they going to do? They settle immediately. They're like, okay, we'll give you $9,000. Which is not, you know, that's a non-trivial sum of money. I wouldn't mind that. So things like that where you're up against major corporations and you don't know what to do and lawyers are going to be like, I'll never take that case. You just sue them yourself. And based on the volume, they just settle them all. So it's kind of a cool thing, I think.
Right. It's kind of scummy, but whatever. $9,000 is $9,000.
Is it scummy? I mean, it could become something very scummy.
Yeah.
For sure. But shouldn't Equifax pay? I mean,
they haven't been fined.
Yeah.
We should figure out exactly how many. What the European fine was, like $150 million or something. Something crazy.
$9,000 is nothing to them, but if, you know, 100,000 people hit them for $9,000,
they would care about that figure.
But they deserve it.
Why did our legal fees go up so much this year? Oh.
Why did they mishandle our data so badly?
Well, more bad news if you are... You know what? In the comment section, you know who doesn't say anything anymore? The crypto people.
Oh, yeah.
There's your engagement challenge.
Oh. We used to have a whole crypto section. We haven't had that for a while, really.
Bloomberg, again. I got to take everything Bloomberg says with a grain of salt. Crypto industry on brink of an implosion, researcher says. So I wonder if this is a hit piece against cryptocurrencies to get the price as low as possible when Jamie Dimon shows up and, you know, corners the crypto market, but it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, well, he's more talking about the volume. The price, I think, is still relatively stable, but there's just not as many transactions. I think it dropped by like a third compared to this time last year, which kind of understandable because it was definitely a mania. I don't think anybody can question that, but... Is it going to go away completely, which is what they're kind of alluding to. Interestingly enough, this past week we had a really huge market drop across the board, like bonds and stocks and everything. And the things that you kind of expect, like the safe haven investments, did go up. Crypto did not. Whereas in the past, if that happened, people would plow into crypto. So perhaps the bloom is off the rose. The crypto bloom.
From Bloomberg.
Well, we talk a lot about right to repair, and what a lot of people don't know is you actually do have the right to repair, but you might not know because you might be being lied to.
Motherboard has a great article. They did this undercover thing. 45 out of 50 electronics companies illegally void warranties after independent repair. So, like the stickers where it's like if the warranty void, if the sticker removed, that's not actually a thing. You can't do that under U.S. federal law, but these companies will actually reject that. It also talks about how in conversations with the companies beforehand, where it's like, hey, I need to take it to get an aftermarket repair. Will that be okay? And they're like, no, that will void your warranty, which they're not allowed to say.
But they do. Almost all of them do. And they don't back down. Even when you say, I got this repaired, and they'll be like, we're not honoring that. But they should have to. So just keep that in mind.
They're required to under U.S. federal law anyway.
Yeah, just keep that in mind next time you...
I think the EU has something similar.
That sounds right.
Well, if they don't, that's probably in the works, right? Because they're doing all that stuff. I don't know. So yeah, next time something breaks in your house, just tear it open and poke it. Do whatever you want because they still have to fix it.
They can void the warranty for an unqualified repair. So like if you jam a fork in a toaster oven...
I'm very qualified, and I would invite you to prove differently.
I went to college, so I don't want to brag. But.
I took toaster repair.
It was an elective.
Moving on to social media and GDPR. One of the first times, well, maybe not the first times, but the first time for Twitter that the GDPR is being wielded against them.
Twitter is under investigation for allegedly refusing to reveal how it tracks you. So you can request your data from Twitter now, the whole GDPR thing, but it's like, how did they get this information in some cases?
Specifically in this case, it is the... So when you post a link to Twitter, Twitter uses that link shortener because, you know, save the characters. This guy wanted to know how much tracking they put into that link shortener and how they tracked the clicks for that and related it back to his Twitter. And they said... Giving you that information is, you know, it's not realistic. It would be too much work. It's not worth it. So he passed it on to the appropriate authorities, and they said, GDPR violation, we're coming for you.
Nice.
Oh, we've been cursed by using the wrong ad blocker. But luckily, I remember what this one's about. So this was remember the James Damore of Facebook? I don't remember his name. But he wrote the memo about the culture of liberalism that had infected Facebook and that his views weren't accepted. Well, he's finally ready to quit.
The Facebook engineer wrote a controversial memo decrying the company's intolerance. And I can't.
And
I don't
it
know
looks
what
like you're using
that.
An ad blocker.
Culture leaves.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's quitting. He said he planned to quit when that happened, but then like the media firestorm sort of spooked him into not quitting right away.
That's understandable.
But now he's like, okay, it's been enough time. Everything's cooled down. I'm out.
You might have gotten a job offer too.
Ironically, intolerance is the one thing that must not be tolerated. You can tolerate anything except intolerance.
And he said, you know, he wasn't like, this wasn't, you know how they always give those platitudes where it's like, I'm moving on to better things in my life? He's like, no, I'm not moving on to better things. I'm quitting because it's a horrible culture. But Facebook was like, we wish him the best. You know, he's going to try to start his own company. But it's very nebulous exactly what he's doing. So
they always start their own company, don't they?
He did have a lot to say, though. I was surprised because you get a feeling of reading this guy's memos that he was very grounded and like had a maybe a little bit, probably not a guy you want to hang around with, but fairly objective in talking about this kind of stuff. But then he said he felt very proud of what Facebook was doing for the world.
Hmm.
I was like, bro, no, bruh. No, it ain't right.
Maybe there's a side of Facebook that we don't know.
And in the theme of Facebook shutting down those right-wing voices, we find out that they have culled so many.
Facebook is removing hundreds of American accounts spamming political misinformation. So this is the war on fake news.
Yeah. With fake being whatever Facebook decides is fake?
Yeah.
Very much so. And this, it seemed like they were going after, now they claim it wasn't the message that these people were sending that was the problem. It was the way they were trying to manipulate the algorithm. But isn't everybody?
Everyone's manipulating. That's the whole point of marketing.
The YouTube, manipulating the YouTube algorithm is the minigame. Right? I mean, it's horrible and no one wins.
Everybody remember Barbie's Dream House?
It's not really the mini game, though. It's like the actual game. Like half of the game is just making a thumbnail.
So, yeah, it wasn't all right wing people, but there were several of them, you know, like pro Trump kinds of things. And so a lot of people feel like that just supports the idea that this guy said when he left of, you know, they are very, very biased. But and the timing as well. I mean, there's an election in a very short amount of time.
Speaking of Facebook, we've got a follow-up to our story last week about the, you know, Facebook lost access to 50 million accounts. It was the impersonation bug. There's a follow-up in the Washington Post.
And there's not a lot more to say except Facebook's like, no, it was only 29.
Don't worry about it.
It was just 29. Don't lie.
Well, let's be clear. It was not as many people as Facebook thought. But the amount of data that was accessed, removed from those people is much worse than was.
But I think the amount of people who lost the entire range of data was actually very small.
Mm.
So it kind of, you know, it was worse and better in equal amounts.
Don't forget that this vulnerability also meant that they have your Facebook tokens for other sites. So anybody that lifted this may be able to use that to log on as you elsewhere.
Instagram and WhatsApp, at least, right? Yeah. And then
those are the two big ones.
All those login with Facebook sites and stuff like that.
Oh,
so, yeah. And if you were affected, luckily, Facebook has given you a portal to check.
Because they're not going to proactively notify you. I mean, that would just be silly.
No, yeah. It's like just coding up a little bar at the top. That would take too long.
I think actually they said they were going to do that, but I don't know if they have yet.
You can check right now. So here's how to see if your recode, this recode article is how to check to see if your personal data was stolen.
One of the lucky ones. And finally, how about this? If you're using the Facebook Messenger, you're probably the kind of person who says things that you're going to regret, right? Well, good news.
Facebook Messenger may soon be getting an unsend feature. Now, I'll just tell you right now that the trolls are going to abuse that. They're going to send a message, and then they're going to unsend it. Because, you know, we on the Level 1 forum, we used to have a ninja edit thing. You know, you type your post, and then you post it, and then you reread it, and it's like, oh, man, I got a typo. And if you fix that typo real quick, we had it set so the system wouldn't show that you edited your post. I mean, that's innocent, right? But then the users abused that, and they were like, you know, you're a terrible, awful, horrible person. Oh, ninja edit. You're cool. I love you. And
then it looked like the other person who responded to them looked like they were insane. And Yeah. I suspect if they do this, they'll probably put some sort of check in, like, has the person seen this message? Then they can't unsend it.
No. It doesn't work like that. So there's going to be a timeout between when you send it and when you can pull it back.
Oh, timeout.
It works that way on the forum, but
or used to.
If you do it within 30 seconds, it does it. And then after that, it shows that you edited something.
But no, this just removes it. So like if you're in a group chat and you say something and then it goes and then the time elapses and you pull it back, it's just like it was never there.
So but somebody could still see it though and be triggered.
They would see it initially.
But you could delete it later.
So prior to this, when you deleted it, it only deleted it for you and not for everyone else. Now it's going to delete it for everybody.
But that sounds like terrorists would use that to communicate.
Oh, I'm sure Facebook still has a record of it, though. I mean, they have to.
Which one would think?
Seems like a ridiculous feature, but they're proud of it. They did a press release.
Oh, crap, I need to unsend that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, this just means it's going to eventually make more work for us when people ask, how do I unsend an email? And the answer is you don't.
Well,
like it's already there.
But Gmail does have that feature now, too, the undo.
Yeah, if they haven't read it yet, if the recipient is also on Gmail and hasn't read it, you can unsend it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Well, if they didn't send it, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? The Google people would say that no, it does not.
See, I think we should live with our mistakes. How else are we going
to
learn?
That's what you used to have to do.
Yeah.
Oops, misfire.
It's definitely the case where, though, sometimes you have that little twinge of regret where you get the email and you respond to it with literally, are you this retarded? Like, are you really this dumb? And then you consider for a moment and it's like, you know, I probably shouldn't have sent that.
You realize that you're ableist scum.
Disliked.
Sorry.
That's all we got for you this week. There was a weird delineation of news this week. So I think tomorrow will be... this was business. Tomorrow will be government and robots, maybe? An odd mixture.
Whatever it is, you're going to love it. You're going to like it. You're going to subscribe.
No, you're going to run away in droves. It's cool. We still love you.
No.
No, that's not true at all.